Yeah, I can do standards with my eyes shut, in my sleep, not even breathing. I can do standards easily.
Amy Winehouse, legendary singer.
But I'm not about doing what is easy to me. I'm about pushing myself. It's nice to sing old songs and bring something new to old songs, but it's, to me, that's too easy. That is not pushing yourself hard enough. To me, it's much more important to make music that is of my time and represent where I've been and where I'm at and where I'm gonna be, you know, because that's the challenge to me. When I don't have a grasp on what's going on around me and I can't write anymore, that's when I'll sing jazz standards, you know, and I'll be able to do that until I'm dead, you know, I'm never going to lose that. But while I'm young, you know, it's important for me to make new music.
Robin, Sängerin, Produzentin und Songwriterin.
I think it's mostly about me just being the coolest chick around.
Yeah. Come on, let's have it out. Go ahead and try a little crazy on me.
Die coolest chicks around. Die Zündfunk History of Rock'n'Roll geht in die 13. Runde. Und wie in der Vorgängerfolge haben wir mit ihnen gesprochen. Den tollsten und coolsten Künstlerinnen dieses Planeten. Mit all den Frauen, die was zu sagen haben, die Musik nach vorne bringen, wie eben Robin und Amy Winehouse. In dieser Folge hört ihr außerdem Peaches, Feist, Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, Kim Gordon von Sonic Youth, Erykah Badu, Björk, FKA Twigs, Patti Smith, Viv Albertine und Ari Up von den Slits, Nene Cherry und viele andere Künstlerinnen. Geballtes Empowerment. Denn die Musikwelt ist weiblich geworden. Und wir sollten, das sagt Inga Humpe, endlich auf uns schauen.
Macht was für andere Frauen. Weil es geht nicht darum, zum Beispiel in der Musik, dass man Männern gefallen muss. Und das ist ja so ein bisschen, was die Industrie eben so macht. Also, dass die immer ein Frauenbild auch schaffen, wenn dann Interpretinnen dabei sind, dass man Männern gefallen muss. Und es geht die ganze Zeit ja auch um Männer in solchen bekloppten Liedern, sag ich mal.
The History of Rock'n'Roll, as told in our radio show. Part 13, Our Heroines, Chapter 2. Sendung von Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß und Michael Bartle.
In dieser Ausgabe sind Interviews zu hören, die wir in den letzten 5 Jahrzehnten im Zündfunk und im gesamten Bayerischen Rundfunk geführt oder gesendet haben. Wir sind tief in die Archive gestiegen, haben alte Bänder digitalisiert, Kassetten und DATs überspielt und Kolleginnen und Kollegen gebeten, ihre Privatschätze zu durchforsten. Die Interviews sind größtenteils im Original belassen, also nicht synchronisiert, weil so die Emotionen und Inhalte möglichst pur und unverfälscht rüberkommen. Female Artists, die aber, das werdet ihr gleich bei Peaches im Interview mit meinem Kollegen Roderich Fabian hören, nicht unbedingt so genannt werden wollen. Peaches steht auf I Love Rock'n'Roll von Joan Jett und hat auf dem Album Fatherfucker mit ihr gearbeitet.
She liked the song and she ended up singing and screaming and playing guitar on it and it was great.
Also die große Rock'n'Roll-Ikone Joan Jett in the Blackhearts, I Love Rock'n'Roll, frühe 80er Jahre. Und jetzt, als sie in L.A. war, als Peaches in L.A. war, hat Joan Jett sich gemeldet und hat gesagt, sie ist in der Nähe und sie kommt vorbei und hat dann auf einem Track gesungen, so hat sich das ergeben. Is that a feminist icon for you, Joan Jett, in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually use the word feminist icon or feminist because I just feel like that also restricts a lot of people who really don't like the word, then they turn off. She was a big figure for girls, you know, in rock. And for guys, too. They loved her also. Now I have a band. I'm touring with a band right now. I usually used to do it alone, which was also my point. I was making it the hardest for myself to prove a point. I can make all the music. I can make a full rock show with no band. I could just have minimal beats and make you think that it's a Kiss concert. So now I have a band and there's three women in my band and they're all really good producers and really down with rock and roll. I have Samantha Maloney, who used to drum with Hole, and she filled in for Tommy Lee on Motley Crue when she was like 23 for 6 months.
It's all female?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's funny that we have to say, oh, all female. And I'm waiting for the day that you're going to do an interview with a guy and say, it's really interesting, you have a all guy band. You know?
Viv Albertin von den Slits.
We're very critical about everything we did, our artwork, our lyrics, our music, whether we held hands with people in the street, you know, all that, everything. We looked at every part of our behaviour. It was a terribly excruciating time to be a young person, actually, because everyone was very strict with each other. And also, just as we were looking at how young people had been before and criticising that, we were looking at how love, romance and sexuality had been and criticising that. So holding hands in the street was seen as being soft and part of the old school, and, you know, tonguey kisses was seen as being soft and part of the old school. A lot of the guys reinterpreted that as meaning, oh, blowjobs are okay then. But no, I mean, I went out with Mick Jones for quite a while and, you know, I'd feel embarrassed holding his hand. It was seen as something passé, you didn't do that anymore.
Hi, this is Nana Cherry and you are listening to Synthfunk. Don't give up. So we did a 2-week tour with the Slits, mm-hmm. and that's when Ari and I kind of found each other, I think towards the end of the tour. I mean, it was a big thing for me, being around these women who were so, to me, so different to any other women I'd known. And I think that it was the first time that I was really around a band consisted of mainly women, you know, and they were kind of, yeah, like in a way kind of fearless. And so I met Ari, I mean, we became really friendly, and then we ended up living together and sharing houses and stuff in London, and we just like were really, I mean, like sisters. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ari without a doubt was a really massive influence, I think. I mean, not I think, I know so. You know, watching her perform and being with her on stage, and she was a kind of musical of genius of a kind. Mm-hmm. I always felt that an artist like Björk had been very influenced by Ari.
In my punk years, we recorded the music ourselves, we made the posters ourselves, we borrowed our parents' car and distributed the album.
Björk im Zündfunk Interview 2011.
I come from the period where DIY was the thing, you know, and so industry comes and industry goes. It doesn't change what I do.
I'm very pleased that Ariane is here from the Slits. Where have you been all the time?
Attention, everybody, you can listen to the radio. No, I've been in the jungle a lot, really. That's one of my jungle sounds. I was living in Belize and Borneo and Jamaica. Jamaica is the only jungle that doesn't have any poisonous animals.
Und du hast deinen Sohn mitgebracht.
Nackig wie der Tag, der ich geboren bin. Ja, so war ich viele Jahre lang.
So wie damals auf dem Cover der ersten Slits-LP.
Ja, wirklich. Ohne die Erde drauf.
Woher kannst
Zum Boden
du,
hin.
Woher kannst du Sauweidel eigentlich so gut
ich
Deutsch?
Ich bin in München geboren, aber ich bin Zigeunerin. Es ist eine interessante Mischung. Weil ich auch in England aufgewachsen bin und in Jamaika. What you say to all Jamdong people? Big up, large up, go see we in a pub come. What you say? Boom shot!
In other words, what are we expecting?
Hast du es toasten gelernt, ja?
Und in Jamaika auch habe ich viel mitbekommen, weil ich tue auch viel DJing. Also nicht DJing, also ein DJing mit Platten, sondern mit der Stimme. Das ist ja Jamaican Rapping, ne?
Als ihr damals mit den Slits die Welt verstört habt, mit dem schlammbedeckten Cover und der neuen Mischung aus Reggae und Punk, da warst du doch damals, glaube ich, 12 oder 13.
Ja,
oder 14,
und ich bin ja, das stimmt, das will ich wieder zurückbringen, weil wir haben Punky Reggae eigentlich erfunden und wir sind eine Reggae, Punky Reggae. Punky Reggae Queen in the house.
Woher glaubst du, dass dieses Bedürfnis nach Punkrock jetzt wieder herkommt? Woher kommt das, dass jetzt alle wieder diesen Punk?
Ich glaube, wir brauchen das Echte, weil da so viele Jahre, glaube ich, kamen so unechte, sogenannte spießige Punkgruppen, die eigentlich Spießer waren. Und das muss man ja wieder zurücknehmen, oder? Und Reggae sowieso muss wieder rauskommen, weil Reggae war, it's still very oppressed. Es gibt ja verschiedene Reggae. Es gibt das alte, dicke Rubberdub, Bass, Heavy Bass und Schlagzeug-Reggae. Und jetzt gibt es auch das neue Dancehall-Reggae. Und das ist ja auch so Punk. Das hat so eine harte Attitude. Und dann mit der Musik dazwischen. Und wenn der Fetisch von Terra Nova, wenn der das macht, das Tanzhall, das klingt mehr deutsch, die nennen es Crowd-Dancehall. Ne?
Kannst du da auch wieder mittoasten?
Ha? Ja, kann ich.
Ein kurzes Stück noch.
Hey, 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 hey. Equal rights to live.
FKA Twigs, Sängerin.
There's something I was speaking to a friend of mine about, the concept of the red thread, which is sort of like a powerful line that goes through woman to woman in each family. And it's sort of like a link between all the women in a bloodline, all the things that we've learned, the power, like the sacred energy. And that's something that, yeah, I've definitely, in the last few years, become more in touch with. The fact that women don't talk about these things anymore, it's almost like a trick of the patriarchy, because only a few hundred years ago, we would have been burnt at the stake if we would have spoken about these things. But in many ways, this is just a tactic to make us be scared of our own magic and scared of our own powers that we inherently have. Like, as you know, women, we create life, and that's the most magical thing. And you know, heaven forbid we realize how powerful we are, you know, we might change a few things, to say the least.
Robin, Sängerin, Produzentin und Songwriterin.
The idea came out of, you know, trying to release records in a way that made more sense for me as an artist creatively than just fitting into the music industry pattern. And I've been on the road since like 2006, and I felt that really frustrated by the fact that I had to like make a long, long album that took like 1.5 years, usually 2 years to make. And then you go out on the road and you tour with that album for like 3 years. And I just wanted to find a way where I could do both at the same time and not just be tied into one area. So I was thinking, you know, I have these 8 songs finished. Let's release them now and I can start touring and then release some more stuff when it's ready. I'm really happy about the live audience that I built up with the last record. I've been able to really connect to an audience that I feel is like my dream audience. It's really mixed. It's all kinds of people, all kinds of ages. I want you.
Nene Cherry und Robin machen auf dem Song Out of the Black gemeinsame Sache. Robin hat von dem Publikum geschwärmt, das sie sich über die Jahre aufgebaut hat und das so divers ist. Wenn sie weiter den Weg gegangen wäre, den ihre Labelbosse für sie vorgesehen hatten, wäre das vermutlich nicht so gekommen. In den 90ern wurde sie als Teen-Pop-Sternchen vermarktet und hatte einige Hits in den USA. Mit Mitte 20 befreite sie sich aus der Klaue der Major-Industrie und machte ihr eigenes Ding. Der Rest ist Geschichte. Wenn Frauen ihre eigenen Visionen haben für ihre Kunst oder auch ihr Aussehen, stoßen sie in der Industrie oft auf Widerstände. Die irische Musikerin und Produzentin Roisin Murphy ist mit ihrer Band Moloko bekannt geworden und wird für ihren Style gefeiert. Schönheit, sagt sie, kommt nicht durch Sex, Geld und Marketing, sondern von Intelligenz.
You know, I never ever use a stylist. I always think it's about intelligence. Beauty is about intelligence. It comes from the eyes first and then sort of goes to the round the rest of your body and what you choose to cloak your body in and what shapes you choose to make. It really is about the brain, you know, not about anything else. And hopefully that's what comes across in a good photograph of me or a nice painting of me or a video or performance on stage. You know, that's what it's about. Yeah, when you look at those sort of early Hollywood stars and you look in their faces, in their eyes and their, the way they carry themselves and the way they dress, it's about a charisma and a brain more than anything else. It's not about, you know, showing as much of your body as possible and getting as much Botox into you as possible. And I mean, I think the subtleties are not noticed by men so much. By women, they're noticed, especially for me, because I get a lot of women who, you know, who love the way I dress and the way I am, and I know why they like it. Personally, I like Agent Provocateur underwear, and it costs like £500 to dress yourself in a nice bra, knickers, panties, you know, stockings, the lot. And it's made of the finest silk, and it's handmade in France, and it's da-da-da-da. A man can't see any difference than that, or cheap stuff, as long as it's got lacy stuff on it and it's a bra and it's, you know what I mean? For a man, it's triggers. It's like a bit of leg, a bit of breast, a bit of this, a bit of that. And I understand that, you know, that's a very animalistic sort of way of looking at things. But the subtleties are, can be there and should be there. And that's the way I feel about it. That's what turns me on, essentially, you know. And I do, when I get dressed to go on stage, I get turned on. I really do. I'm playing with my triggers that get me going, you know, that release my performance, you know. It gets me in a mood, it gets me in a charisma.
For me, I describe that duality as the virgin whore.
FKA Twigs, Sängerin.
What I found in Mary Magdalene was an incredible purity, a healing, intoxicating, virgin-like quality, somebody who was fresh and new and innovative, but then also all-knowing and powerful. And for me as a woman, to be able to re-evoke that archetype of the virgin whore was incredibly helpful to me. Like when I was going through some hard times over the past sort of 2 or 3 years, like to be able to think of not just Mary Magdalene, but more the archetype of the virgin whore. I found that incredibly helpful. And I realized as a woman, you can be both. You know, you can be the virgin and the whore. It's that idea of the sacred prostitute.
I am blue when the moon hits my skin right. Hot pink when you open up my sweet thighs. Pull you in and your life can begin, cause it's early days. Will you still be there for me? Now I'm yours to obtain. Now my fruits of the tanky, and your fingers are stained. Do you still think I'm beautiful when you light me in flames? My love is so beautiful. For men who don't follow his heart.
Unholy Terrain was the last song that I wrote. There's a celebrational aspect, I think, and in the video, there's the idea of all these women coming together and kind of like manifesting something, evoking and manifesting a partner that can see that you're amazing and beautiful and stand up next to you with no insecurity and with no self-doubt. Like the fact that you're standing next to somebody that's brilliant and strong and beautiful has no impact on you being incredible as well. You can stand together, and I think for me that's what Holy Terrain means. It's kind of a calling for that idea to have somebody not be intimidated and not put you down and not be scared and not be vulnerable or not feel like they're not enough just because you're incredible.
Do you want to take me to my favorite show? Day two, hold my hand and pull me close next to me, kiss my cheek, cause sunny days. Day three, take me to a deep river, steal a kiss when I'm lost in the mess.
I think every record is very personal. It just depends on what's going on in your life at the time. Honestly, I did start this record in quite a dark place emotionally, I guess.
Roisin Murphy, Künstlerin, früher Teil von Moloko.
The first track I wrote was If We're In Love, which is quite a poppy track, but the lyrics are about not being able to have sex and being alone and, you know, a need and want, desire, unfulfilled sort of desire. I had really taken myself out of the world at that point in time in my life. I'd really sort of gotten rid of a lot of people in my life and ended up spending a lot of time on my own. I didn't have a love affair in my life at the time. And Sinking Feeling is about fighting the moments when you are decided to live like that, when you are feeling it's hard to live like that, and feeling maybe a bit tired of your own company. And by the end of the record, the last track that I wrote on the record was So Into You, which is extremely uplifting love song. It's the most positive love song I've ever written. After making the page clean, I was able to fill it slowly with things that really were strong things, you know, strong, good relationships and a strength in my work and in what I could actually achieve on my own, from going from kind of being in a cave to sort of being up on a mountain, you know.
All of heaven's bliss is in this perfect kiss. Rain down on me. Bring me a change in the weather. Break open the sky.
My records are, they're like oral landscapes.
Santi Gold, Künstlerin und Songwriterin.
You know, so it's like there's the flat field and then there's the mountains and then there's the ocean. You know what I mean? It's like the music takes you all over the place. So I think with the colors, it's the same. It's like the show, just like the record, it takes you through different moods. You know, the first may feel one way and the second we've arranged the song so that actually the tone of the show changes with the colors and with the costumes. I guess I'm the type of person who all the time I'm just collecting images. You know, like if I'm online or in the Vatican or if I'm, you know, anywhere, I mean, anything I see, I'm gonna just, you know, take a picture or collect it on my desktop. You should see my desktop, it's a mess. Cause I just have it there, and then, you know, I might forget all about it, but then it finds its way into the creative part of my brain. And I think for this record in particular, images that I was drawn to were ones that seemed sort of otherworldly, you know? Like, I wanted the show to feel like you stepped into a world of our creation, because that's the record's called Master of My Make-Believe, and it's about being the ruler of your reality, so that I wanted it to kind of look like that in some way.
Hallöchen, liebe Leute, hier spricht die Amanda Palmer und ihr hört die Zündfunk-Männerwirtschaft.
I mean, I learned so many things as a living statue
But actually, you and I could talk about 20
ich habe so viele Dinge gelernt, als ich als lebende Statue auf den Straßen Geld verdient habe. Eine Sache, über die ich bisher kaum gesprochen habe, ist, was du alles ohne Worte erreichen kannst. Als Musikerin kommt das ja kaum vor. Wenn du meine Show heute Abend siehst, wir geben 2,5 Stunden Vollgas, gibt es kaum einen Moment, in dem ich meine Klappe nicht offen habe. Aber für mich war es eine unheimlich wichtige Erziehung damals auf der Straße. Auf dieser Kiste zu stehen, sich nicht zu rühren, kein Wort zu sprechen. Und der Austausch zwischen den Menschen, die dann Geld in meinen Hut geschmissen haben, und der Statue, die dadurch zum Leben erweckt wurde, es ging alles über einen nonverbalen Augenkontakt. Es war ein Geschenk. Manchmal glaube ich heute noch, dass ich damals schon alles erreicht habe, was man als Künstler im Austausch mit seinem Publikum erreichen kann. Ein Mensch, der einen anderen anschaut und beide teilen einen Moment.
We encounter each other directly, very rarely. And it's an incredibly powerful thing to look into somebody's eyes. And the, you know, the Marina Abramovic performance was powerful for a reason.
Denk nur zurück an die Marina Abramovic-Performance im Museum of Modern Art. Es mag für den einen oder anderen ziemlich naiv gewirkt haben, aber mit ihr dort zu sitzen, nichts anderes als mit ihr da zu sitzen, sozusagen eingefroren in der Zeit und in einem groovy Raum, das war eine unglaubliche Geschichte. Und ich glaube, dass alles, was wir mit Kunst erreichen wollen, auf einen solchen Moment reduziert werden kann. Und dann fragt man sich, ob das dann noch Kunst ist oder vielleicht doch noch etwas Größeres, ein menschlicher Austausch?
Are you actually talking about something bigger than art, that's just about human encounter and human exchange? You worship the sun, aching for change. But you keep starving your heart, and you used to have sisters, you don't anymore. You worship the sun, beating the dark. And I'm out in the yard with my son and my daughter. And the sky is all black, and I think we should start running, running from the water. And everybody's yelling, they're yelling that they're coming, but I don't see a single soul.
Feist, Musikerin, Kanada.
Ich hatte die Idee in einem Zug, als ich mit Gonzo auf Tour war. 22 Stunden am Tag beschäftigt man sich nicht großartig mit seiner Musik. Man fährt, kommt an, wartet. Das Konzert selbst spielt da keine große Rolle. Wir hatten unsere CDs und Discman dabei. Gonzo hat damals viel Burt Bacharach und Dusty Springfield gehört. Nach den Konzerten waren wir immer in einer Art Vaudeville-Stimmung. Er hat Klavier gespielt und ich habe mich angelehnt und mir einen Besen geschnappt und ihn als Mikro benutzt. Wir hatten viel Spaß, obwohl das alles so altmodisch war. Nach der Show hat er immer Mitsing-Sessions mit dem Barpersonal veranstaltet. Das war ein magischer Moment, fast völlig frei von jeglicher Illusion. Die Leute sahen aus wie kleine Kinder, die sich ein Puppentheater anschauen. Mit diesem Teil seiner Seele wollte ich zusammenarbeiten.
It was so powerful that I would watch the people's faces change like there were little kids watching a puppet show. And so that was the part of him that I really felt like I wanted to work with.
Helping the kids out of their coats, the way the babies haven't been born. Oh, unpacking the bags and setting up, and planted lilacs and buttercups. But in the meantime, I got it hard. Second floor living without a yard.
We cooked a lot of pasta. We made beats and, you know, it was sort of like Maki as well.
Wir haben viel Pasta gekocht und Beats gebastelt. Maki, der jetzt auch hier lebt, Chili Gonzalez, Taylor Savvy und andere Freunde wie die World Providers waren oft da. Unser Haus war eine Art Treffpunkt, weil es für alle gut zu erreichen war. Ständig hat jemand geklingelt. Ich bin oft von der Arbeit nach Hause gekommen, ohne zu wissen, wer bei uns war. Wir haben Beats gehört, geraucht und gefreestylt. Einige waren dabei viel besser als die anderen. Die sind dann Rapper geworden. Meine Reime waren immer erbärmlich und viel zu offensichtlich. Ich habe Street auf Beat gereimt. Ich habe dann besser darauf verzichtet, Rapperin zu werden.
And cross the sea and land for him. And milky skin, my tongue is sound until the ever-distant band begins to play.
The music is an observation of me.
Roisin Murphy, Künstlerin.
The music starts from zero. And the first track that I did was he text messaged me, bring an object, and I didn't know what he meant. So I brought my notebooks, I always bring, I make these big, beautiful notebooks with like lots of teared up strips from the newspapers, from the magazines, and also lots of things written in them and drawings in them, and they're quite beautiful objects in themselves. I don't always use them to write songs, but they're there to kind of as a crutch in case I worry that I might run out of a word or a phrase at a certain point in the song. And he said, did you bring the object? I said, well, I brought this notebook. And he was like, looked at it. Yes, that's very nice. Now, can you go over to the microphone and bang that across the microphone? And there we had the kick drum. And then I scratched it on the microphone. And then I, you know, threw things on it, pens on it. And threw, you know, half an hour later, you know, you've got a lot of stuff recorded. And then eventually we get to a point where we both like what we hear and we think it's a structure. And I'll take it home and work on the melodies and lyrics at home alone on my little four-track cassette thing. Work all night and then have like 3 hours sleep because he expects me to work so fast because he works so fast, you know?
I don't think there was ever a point where I thought, wow, I've got a great voice and I can rule the world. You know, not at all, ever.
Amy Winehouse, legendary singer.
It was more, I think, that I realised I could write songs. And that's what it was, really, that was a big discovery for me. I was about 15, I had school exams, and we had to write a song for a music exam, and it was so simple to me that I just thought, it's not supposed to be this easy, surely. I must be able to write songs, cool, you know. And that's what it really was, you know, that's how it started. My favourite singers are Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan, Minnie Riperton. Those are people that have really inspired me. And I listen to everything, you know. I listen to mostly jazz and hip-hop, you know. I love Nas and Busta Rhymes and Thelonious Monk and Ray Charles and Charlie Mingus and everyone pretty much, yeah.
Ich bin Laura Marling aus England.
When I was growing up,
Als Jugendliche habe ich viel Joni Mitchell gehört. Ihr Album Chord and Spark ist wohl die Platte, die ich am häufigsten gehört habe. Die Resonanz ihrer Stimme hat mich definitiv beeinflusst. Aber das geht wohl allen Frauen so, die diese Art von Musik machen.
Forgive me, hearer, I cannot stay. He cut out my tongue, there is nothing to save. Love me, O Lord. He threw me away. He laughed at my sins. In his arms I must stay. He wrote, I'm broke. Please send for me. But I'm broken too and spoken for. Do not tempt me.
Jazz und Hip-Hop, das waren die größten Einflüsse von Amy Winehouse. Ihre Vorbilder reichten von Charlie Mingus bis hin zu Nas und Busta Rhymes. Und wer Folkmusik macht, wie Laura Marling, kommt nicht an Joni Mitchell vorbei. Wir haben hier im Bayern 2 Zündfunk oft über das Thema gesprochen, warum es weniger Frauen in der Musikwelt gibt als Männer, was sich glücklicherweise immer mehr ändert. Ein Punkt, der immer genannt wurde, wie wichtig Vorbilder sind. Natürlich können auch Männer Vorbilder sein für Frauen. Aber wo wären wir heute ohne die großen Heldinnen der 60er, wie die unermüdliche Kämpferin Joan Baez?
You know, when I started, my brand of music was folk music.
Als ich anfing, spielte ich Folksongs und wir rebellierten damit gegen etwas, was wir als Kaugummi-Musik bezeichneten. Heute gibt es immer noch Musik, gegen die ich mich auflehne. Das ist die Musik der Grammys, der Auszeichnungen der Musikindustrie. Für mich ist das keine Musik, eher effektheischende Unterhaltung. Und ich begreife mich noch immer als Teil der Gegenkultur.
Auch Marianne Faithfull kommt aus den 60s.
Well, you know, the one interesting thing I think about the 60s is that it terrified most of the world so much what happened. They were really scared. The young people kind of almost took over. They were so frightened. And they obviously decided it would never happen again. There's still a strong kickback reaction against anything. But we have to go on. We have to. We haven't got a choice. I mean, it would be easier to die, wouldn't it? But we can't.
Joan Baez, legend.
When people say, where is Blowing in the Wind? Who's writing Imagine? Well, you're not going to have that right now. You simply are not going to have that until it's time. Maybe somebody's writing that at this moment. The atmosphere in the world is not accepting of that right now. It's not going to be played on the radio right now. Dylan's gift or John Lennon's gift is not, nobody has that right now. I'm not sure what all the dynamics are. But I think that so for many people, they're waiting. You know, they're waiting for 1968 to come back and not realizing that will never happen. We have to live, figure out what to do now and probably what to do in the future.
The music that most influenced me when I first moved to New York was No Wave. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's music that I definitely related to, and I liked how free it was and rhythmic. I don't know, like I'm kind of always liked rap music, and I always liked the idea of appropriation. As a non-singer, I kind of related to rappers, and I like that idea of building up a song through layers. Basically, in that you don't have to be a musician, you don't have to, like, it's kind of punk rock in a way, you know.
Lydia Lunch, post-punk legende.
The problem with commercial pop music is it doesn't evolve, it gets stuck in a rhythm that is radio-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
My music was always in rebellion to that which was traditional or that inspired me. I always tried to make something else from it. I always tried to pervert it somehow. Whether it was with No Wave or my own version of Swamp Blues or avant-garde or psychoambient. I mean, first of all, my music constantly contradicts itself. So I'm not only contradicting the history of traditional music, I contradict my own music. I call it contradiction, actually. It's hot out here for a pimp when you're trying to get the money for the rent.
I don't think I ever have been aware of anything like that.
Amy Winehouse.
But my managers probably have been worried about it at times, I'm sure, because I'm not a pop artist. I'm not a money artist either. I'm a like an artist that you put money in because you believe in me, not because you know that you're going to get a big return on one single, because I can't do that because I'm not a commercial artist. And I don't wish I was, you know, I'm just not a commercial artist.
Erykah Badu macht ihr eigenes Ding.
They put a lot of pressure on you about it. Just, you know, make sure that you know the deadlines and all that. But since I don't go by the deadline, you know, I go by the live line. People panic a lot. They don't really understand, you know, as an artist, you can't just shout on cue. You have to, you know, do it when you feel it. And because it's a business, I do understand the agenda, but I cannot compromise my art for that, the music business's agenda, because I have a higher agenda, and that's to make sure that what I'm delivering is genuine and true.
As an artist, you're more of an explorer. I'm more interested in the adventure of the creation, really.
Joni Mitchell never lies.
There's a temptation to fill up every track. It's like a painter, you know, you paint something on it, you put a sound on it, you know, you wipe it out again, you know, like, and try something else. So a lot of the experimental part, you don't see, you just see the end result. But then I say, that's it.
Look out the left, the captain said, the light's down there, that's where we'll land. I saw a falling star burn up above the Las Vegas sands. It wasn't the one that you gave to me that night down south between the trailers. Not the early one that you can wish upon, not the northern one that guided in the sailors. Oh, star bright, you've got the loving that I like, all right. Turn this crazy bird around, I shouldn't have gone this flight tonight.
In the last 3 years, therefore, so many women's issues that touched me, you know, and that's the criterion for what you write about. In Canada, a poll was taken, and 50% of women polled were battered women. 60 in the province where I live, of British Columbia, where unemployment and alcoholism is high. In America, a statistic came out that every other American woman, one out of two, will be raped in her lifetime. And generally, if she's raped once, she'll be raped twice because, you know, frequently the person has repeated access to her.
Patti Smith, Legende.
We had things we believed in and things we were fighting for collectively, civil rights in the United States, we had to fight for that, and the war against Vietnam, which was an immoral war, and it was wrong, and we knew it, and we had to fight to stop the war. But we're in a time just like that. We're even in a more intense time. People just have to wake up. Where, to me, this is more scary and more intense than ever. And if people are looking for an intense thing to be involved with, an anti-war movement, a global anti-war movement, that to me is what we have to do. People have to be aware of what's going on around them. To me, this is, in my whole life, the saddest and most exciting time to live.
16 and time to pay off. I get this job in a piss factory inspecting pipe. 40 hours, $36 a week, but it's a paycheck, Jack.
Patti Smith hat in unserem Interview von der zugleich traurigsten und aufregendsten Zeit ihres Lebens gesprochen. Die politischen Konflikte auf der ganzen Welt sind mehr und vor allem noch komplexer geworden. Das Klima ist im Moment das wichtigste Thema. Die junge Generation ist wieder politisiert und engagiert. Die Fridays for Future-Bewegung trägt den Spirit der 68er weiter. Und in der Musik? Unser Leben und die Musik haben sich durch das Internet komplett verändert. Alles hat sich in 1000 Subgenres und 1000 Filterblasen aufgelöst. Der Mainstream der Minderheiten ist wahr geworden. Und Hip-Hop hat Rock als das dominierende Genre abgelöst. Und auch dort rulen mittlerweile Frauen wie Lizzo, die die Schönheitsideale der Industrie in die Tonne treten.
Beauty is being redefined and now nothing is going backwards. Like we're only moving forwards. And so we're setting the trend on, like, there's no trend. So I don't think that, like, oh, black big girls right now are popping and next month they're not gonna be popping. No, bitch, we always gonna be popping now because we put our foot in the door and we've made ourselves a staple in beauty. And there's more to come. More Vogue covers.
Früher war es undenkbar, dass in Deutschland ein Rap-Album auf Platz 1 geht. Heute ist es normal. Aber glücklicherweise gibt es nicht nur die Kollegas da draußen, sondern auch Hamburgs erste Trap-Queen, Haiti.
Ich strebe jetzt nicht danach, individuell zu sein. Es ist eher ein Handicap. So dieses besondere Sein, so, ich glaube, die Leute wissen gar nicht, was das bedeutet. Die Jungs wollen meistens ein ganz normales Mädchen. Die wollen gar keinen Rockstar oder eine Irre oder die wollen ja meistens eine ganz normale Freundin. Deswegen so, ich habe auch so eine Erfahrung gemacht, dass es eigentlich schwer ist, wenn man jetzt so ist wie ich. Alles anders machen und so, ich mache das nicht extra, es ist einfach so. Ich sehe keine Heroes, 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 Heroes. Monte, Negro, Zero, Zero. Ich smoke die Kippen wie Kate Moss. Ich smoke die Kippen wie Kate Moss. Kate. Mein Partner ein Panzer. Dein Boss ein Verwandter. Die Kugeln, sie regnen. Du machst mir einen Antrag.
The History of Rock and Roll as told in our radio show. Our Heroines. Sendung von Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß und Michael Bartle.
I didn't make it out here in the music world, you know, because they say I didn't have the look.
Sharon Jones, verstorbene Soul- und Gospel-Queen.
I guess I had that look that looked like I was back from 1935.
Kim und Kelly Deal von den Breeders.
You have a German song on your record? Yeah. What's the story about that?
I was on my four-track. I had my Telecaster. I plugged it in. I blew out the tone a little bit, so it was a little distorted. Had my headphones on, and I started with this riff that just went... And I liked it. I thought it sounded cool. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool if I was singing in German?
Why?
I don't know.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I was going to be going, hi, he, hey, ka, he, ka, he. It wasn't like that. I wanted it to be, you know, just cool sounding. I'm just so sick of my fucking voice, man. Blah, blah. I wonder if German people think that sounds cool, you know? Right. I think they just think it's bad German. Yeah.
Cat Power im Zündfunk-Interview.
The more open-minded people can be about music and the more open-minded their brain grows about music, perhaps the brain will grow about ideas and concepts. Kitty Wells, she has a callback song where she sings back to Hank Williams. It says, it wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song. Mm-hmm. Too many times married men think they're still single, and that has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
Aretha Franklin.
Well, being a singer is, it's my natural gift, and it means that I am using to the highest degree possible the gift that God gave me to use. And of course, I'm happy with that.
Things happen to me on stage, like in church. So sometimes I get in church and you can get into the music or you can get into a song.
Sharon Jones, verstorbene Soul- und Gospel-Queen.
And that's where they stomp. You'll be like, well, I'm gonna meet King Jesus. They go, in the box. And that's where the people, you know. And so we thought about that. Oh, mama, mama, too. Snapping my leg, and they were just singing, and that's how we recorded that.
Oh, mama, 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 why you don't like my man? Oh, mama, 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 why can't you understand?
I always felt like my songs,
Cat Power.
I always felt like my songs, they've always expressed the same thing, and I think they always will. And what that thing is just like hope and perseverance, a triumphant scale of reality. Hopefully my vocabulary and my sense of ability to express myself will grow. I can only hope for that. But, you know, my passion and my interest in song is more of a release. What I feel about music is the truth. I feel like it's the truth, and the truth may not necessarily be happy or sad. It's just relevant.
Chrissy Hynde von den Pretenders über Punk.
Yeah, it definitely changed my life. I could get in a band and nobody would dare mention, like, oh, she's okay for a girl. You know, you just wouldn't say that in the punk thing. People would look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, it was just so not what it was about.
The street, cause you're
precious.
Moving through the Cleveland heat, how precious. You're taking that and all the kicks are so precious. But you know how to shit in bricks, cause I ain't
precious.
Make me wanna, make me wanna, make me make it.
The History of Rock and Roll, as told in our radio show. Our Heroines. Sendung von Ann-Kathrin Mittelstraß und Michael Bartle.